Are you a small business impacted by the coronavirus? Washington Federal is here to help. Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live, and it's offering a five-year business line with 90 days interest for free to businesses that have seen a 10% or greater drop. Apply now to receive up to $200,000 on business lines of credit. The folks at Washington Federal understand small businesses may need an emergency loan. They're doing their best to help during this global pandemic. If you're a small business owner who needs help, head to wafdbank.com to apply. Questions? Email business.lifeline@wafd.com. This is the Scorebook Live Today podcast. I'm your host, Andy Bueller. I'm here with Todd Millis from Scorebook Live, both statewide reporters, and we're here to bring you some somber news. If you haven't already heard, the high school spring sports season is done before it could start. Monday, Washington Governor Jay Inslee announced that school closures would extend through the end of the school year for all K through 12 schools across the state, public, private, and charter. Todd, thanks for joining me to kind of recap what went down. What did you make of the news? Obviously, you know, between you and I, and it felt like a lot of coaches, this was something that people were just waiting to drop, and it finally did.
Yeah, the interesting part of this, Andy, was I think that first-year WIA executive director Mick Hoffman was really going to take this as far as he could without ruling everything out, which I think sort of gave people, you know, a sliver of hope. And I think people appreciated that given right now the circumstances and the home confinement, and there's not much people can do, so they can sort of look forward to something. But I think, you know, obviously, you know, Governor Inslee, you know, forced Mick's hand and the WIA's hands with the announcement on Monday. And I'll be turning 49 next week, and I've never seen anything like this where a sports season was canceled. I can't even imagine what it's like for coaches, athletic directors, these student athletes and their parents, especially the seniors. There are a lot of great senior athletes in the spring, as you know, Andy, that we won't get to see at all one more time. It's basically they're going to sort of go graduate quietly and head off to college or head off to whatever's next. It's just it's such a weird step. It's almost sort of surreal. And it's something that we have to, you know, we're all dealing with, everybody that's associated with high school sports.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the process for preparing for a season, especially for athletes who are primarily spring athletes and this is their season, with the sport that they focus on, it doesn't start just a month before the season. This is something that a lot of athletes were preparing for at the end of last year, at the end of the school year, last season. They've been working forward to this moment and to have it taken away. And obviously there's a lot of understanding and let's make it clear that this was the correct move by the governor to slow the spread of the coronavirus, which Washington was ground zero for the spread throughout the United States. As life in the U.S. has come to a halt, these are tough decisions having to be made at the state level and necessary decisions. But the collateral damages, there are a ton of folks who are having, you know, a lot of hard work that just won't be rewarded. And especially my heart goes out to the seniors across the state in all spring sports. Seniors that, you know, we'll continue to write about. Let's make that clear. We'll continue throughout these next couple weeks to highlight stories throughout this senior class and really highlight the most talented athletes and the athletes with compelling stories and really shine a light on what makes high school sports so great. But Todd, you and I have both talked to coaches this past week and, you know, leading up to Monday's news about you know, how teams were preparing for this type of thing. And now that the news is official and it's come across as final, based on the coaches that you've talked to, what are some of the ways that you're hearing that seniors will be honored by their schools?
Yeah, I just, you know, everybody is sad. Coach, like we mentioned, coaches, athletic directors, students, but it's now up to these administrators and coaches to kind of move to the next step and find ways to honor their athletes, to honor their teams, especially these seniors. It's, you know, that's going to be a huge priority, I think, for coaches over the next month and a half, is how can we, you know, with the current situation, logistically be able to honor this team in the right way. And obviously it's going to come in a virtual manner. So, you know, a virtual team banquet or virtual, you know, awards ceremony, or I'm not the idea guy. I mean, these are things that coaches and athletic directors, I think, should come up with, but just ways that you can say, hey, it wasn't for all for naught. I mean, thank you for what you've provided, given this program, this team, the sport for the last year, 2 years, 3 years. That's going to be, I think that's going to be a very key sort of under the radar thing that most people maybe not won't think about, but is important. Just for the functionality of a team and moving forward. And I think if you set that kind of example for your returners, you know, to see that your coach is taking a leadership role in hard times like this, I think it's good. I think it's good for the long haul. So I think that's going to be something you're going to see coaches talk about, and you're going to see this sort of stuff come over social media. And like you said, you know, there's been some media, us included, that have tried to find ways to highlight these senior athletes as well. And we'll continue to do that. I know TV has done that. I know, a lot of media members on social media are just sort of, you know, picking a senior and just kind of going over their highlights, his or her highlights, and saying, hey, let's not forget that this young lady was a great tennis player, or this baseball player was, you know, whatever, coming in, you know, close to 100 career home runs or something along those lines. Just I think everybody's got a part in this. And right now I think that should be the coach's focus heading here into, you know, the part of April here and the end of May.
You know, I got off the phone shortly before we started recording this podcast with Ben McGrew, the head coach, head baseball coach at Union. And, you know, there's a player on Union's roster, Travis Weiss. And he was a third baseman last year. He was an all-league selection as a junior. But it came in as a freshman and really was just kind of a baby deer, as described by McGrew. And McGrew told him before the season, like, this is your year. Like, he really felt strongly that he could have a league MVP caliber year. And, you know, similar to his comparison was Tanner Toulson on Union's basketball team, the way that he stepped up his senior season when he was given that opportunity on the high school stage. And so it's players like Travis that I just really feel for having this season taken away and all the hard work that's gone into it. And so those are the types of stories that we'll hope to highlight, but it's really unfortunate to see, you know, the opportunity not even, you know, be there for these athletes. So I really hope that, you know, after the stay-at-home order is lifted, maybe into the summer. We don't know how long this is going to go on and continue to impact large public gatherings. And obviously high school sports, it does take a back burner to a lot more serious issues like school. I mean, school from here on out for the rest of the year will be conducted online. And schools around the state are having to grapple with how to present, how to adjust to present material online, the inequities with access to internet and how that might affect the ability to even present new material. I know a ton of schools that just aren't even going to really present new material for the rest of the year because not every student has access to, you know, a MacBook or a Chromebook or, you know, regular internet from their home. And so those are the big pressing issues that these districts at the local level and the statewide level are really tackling. High school sports, however, certainly doesn't go unaffected. Todd, we talk about how this is going to drag on, and we don't exactly know exactly, you know, how it's going to drag on. And you and I both talked to, you especially have talked to a lot of football coaches lately that are worried about how this might impact football. And, you know, I know it might be a little raw with the spring sports because, you know, we want to be cognizant and aware of just how brutal this news is for so many athletes in spring specific sports around the state. But as this drags on, we're going to start to have this conversation about fall sports. And the way that high school sports operate out of season, when you talk about spring football, which is likely done, and you talk about the AAU season in the spring, and you talk about 7-on-7 football this summer. And what are you hearing when you talk to coaches about just kind of some of the ways that coaches are bracing for the impact of this as it extends beyond the school year, which we now know is done in person and into the summer?
I think their stress level is pretty high. I think they're nervous and they should be. And you talked about some of the spring stuff. It's going to go right into summer. I think you can pretty much kiss June basketball and June 7-on-7 goodbye. You know, July is kind of the next month on the chopping block. And we, as you know, that's sort of the end of the 7-on-7 season. There's obviously a few passing tournaments in the around the state. But that's also the end of AAU. And I think some of the AAU people are wondering, can we extend this since we're not going to be playing basketball? Can we extend this into August? So I'm sure that's some things that maybe AAU basketball coaches in the summer will look at. But then, you know, you kind of snap your fingers and we're already at training camp. And there are so many issues with football. As you know, football is a mass participation sport, much like track. We're trying to get social distancing. I don't think that term is going to go away anytime soon. I think coaches are worried on a lot of fronts. They're worried about participation. How will this affect our roster numbers? Will parents be freaked out about their lineman's son, you know, in a box, play in, play out in a football game with 18 other, you know, teenagers? It's not like basketball where it's spaced out largely. I mean, obviously when play slows down or stuff, but as you know, football, it's 22 guys almost in a box. So I think football coaches are a little worried about how this is going to impact participation. And then it's the same things that I think the spring sports athletes were kind of going through, you know, who gets to watch the games, you know, how long this is assuming that, you know, the season starts on time, but you know, who gets to watch games, how is this going to impact, the postseason? Are we going to have interruptions, things like that? But I think if you ask most coaches, I think they're extremely worried about the delay and or maybe cancellation of the fall football season, as you know, which is a big deal in Washington. It's a big deal everywhere, but I mean, high school football is, there's a reason why it's king. It draws the most people. It has a life of its own. And if that's taken away in the fall, man, I'll tell you, you know, then you start thinking other sports. It would not surprise me at all if we're talking a year from now that football and basketball were severely impacted, if not canceled, just to have a year cycle of this thing, because we still don't know a lot enough where we feel safe with any of the decisions that are being made other than the fact that we need to sort of draw back. And so, yeah, like I said, Andy, if we had this discussion a year from now, and you told me, and we both know that football and basketball are canceled, I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Yeah, and in the press conference earlier this week, with Governor Inslee, State Superintendent Chris Reichdahl had said he braced educators to prepare for the possibility of the in-person closure of schools to extend into the fall. And so this is something where, you know, you and I can sit here and prognosticate, and we can talk to coaches and see how they're preparing. But, you know, the real important information has to be coming from, and the voices that need to be heard are the health professionals and those that understand, you know, the implications of having large crowds gather. But you're right. It does come at a cost. I mean, it's the fabric of a lot of communities is held together by things like high school football, ways that towns and areas can come together. High school sports plays such an integral role. It's the reason that we do what we do. But these are uncharted waters. They certainly are. And with that being said, I think, you know, both of us have been talking about over the past couple of days since this news was announced, what we're going to miss as we continue to highlight the athletes this spring who had their seasons and many of their high school careers cut short because of what's going on. What is one thing that you will most miss about this high school season that you were anticipating seeing, covering, and just watch go down?
Well, I mean, it would have been nice to see Blake Kakula try and go for a record fourth straight, you know, boys golf championship for Owako. I mean, the little record, the milestone things are always fun to track this time of year. There's some athletes, I'm sure you'll mention one after I get done here, that you like to see performance wise, that next step as a senior. For me, you know, since I had a front row seat to it last year, you know, Garfield softball, what a great story last year coming. You know, it's very rare to see a Metro League school come through and win a state championship. Garfield had zero, I mean, zilch tradition in the sport of softball, and had been building under Ken Simpson for the last few years. He has two daughters on the team. One of them was Kaya Simpson, the really good pitcher. And they made this great run through the state class 3A state tournament and ended up beating Yelm in the finals. I wanted to see what step two of that would have been. His other daughter, Nicola, is also back. She's a junior. She's a Tennessee commit. He has three or four really good players off that team back. It would have been fun to see what the encore of that would have been. I would have enjoyed seeing that, how that progressed, you know, a program that had never been used to being in the spotlight. Now all of a sudden sort of with a target on its back, how it handled it and how it sort of proceeded through the season. And ultimately, hopefully in the postseason, it would have been a fun encore ride to see what Garfield could have done, in its softball program.
Yeah, certainly. I remember reading all your coverage from that last year while I was covering the baseball tournament over in the Tri-Cities. And, you know, just before I jump into the one athlete that I would have loved to see finish out his high school career here in Washington, it wasn't as much when we first started to explore this question, when I did at least, it wasn't as much individual performances that I thought about. It was, God, spring high school sports championships are really fun to cover, and you just never know what's going to happen a lot of times when you get to that stage. And, you know, I think of last year, you know, I had just gotten hired at Scorebook Live. So did you. And by the time spring sports championships came around, it was like, oh, wow, you know, we're jumping right into this. And so was able to see Olympia make a great run into the final weekend of the 4A state baseball tournament. Saw Moses Lake pitcher Evan McLean deal a perfect game to beat Skyview and advance to what would be a state championship for Moses Lake. That was genuinely awesome to see. It's moments like that that I start to think about. It's the grandiose nature of Star Track, the high school state track meet. And those types of things that you really kind of look around and say like, hey, this is really cool. This is a big slice of you know, excellence in our youth across the state. But the one athlete I'll come back to who pops up to mind is four-time state champion Trey Knight. He's a guy that I know, Todd, you're working on a story right now. If that hasn't already published as we're recording this, it will by the time you're listening to it. Knight is signed with USC to further his track career. He's a thrower whose best event, the hammer, which he's among the country's best for his age, is not offered at the high school level here in Washington. And so we've been able to see Knight dominate this state over the past couple of years in events that were not even really his forte. And so it would have been great to see him go and try to really end on a high note, which I'm assuming he would have. He's one of the best all-around athletes we've seen wrote a story on him back in August when he decided for the first time since, I believe it was eighth grade, to come out and play football for a rebuilding Ridgefield team. And he was an all-league selection, and Ridgefield had a really good season under a first-year head coach, a large part because of his contributions. And so just the way that a player like that can impact a sport, certainly would have loved to have seen him in his sport of choice, throwing, go out on a high note. But the silver lining there is we're going to see plenty of Trey Knight at the next level. You know that just as well as I do.
Yeah, I mean, if all goes as planned, we might see him 4 years from now in his hometown competing with the red, white, and blue singlet. I mean, you mentioned a story I'm writing on. It would have been nice. You know, he's certainly mentioned among the best track and field throwers in state history. I talked to a few throwing coaches around the state this week about where he ranks, and he was either number one or number two. We'll come out with that list on the website, so check it out. His hammer, he knows no peer with the hammer, as we know. He's well over 250 feet. He would have finished in the heavier hammer. He would have finished in the top eight in the NCAA Division I tournament last year. That's how accomplished a hammer thrower he is. It would have been fun to see how he would have rounded out the rest of his throwing career as a shot putter, as a discus thrower. It certainly would look a little different if he was over 200 feet in the discus. It would certainly look different if he was 67, 68 feet in the shot put. You know, certainly well within his capability. And then we'd be talking about unanimously the number one thrower in state history. And not that, you know, Trey Knight cares about where he ranks or anything, but to see a guy in his senior year take that final step before he heads off to college. And I've done it with, you know, seen it with other track athletes. I'm sure you've seen it with other soccer players, you know, team sports. But it would have been fun to see, you know, Trey Knight, end his career in Tacoma on a podium where he belongs, winning another couple of state championships with some pretty cool marks.
No question. As we move on, as we've been talking about our continued coverage, let's just plug some of the things that you can find on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington. As we continue to take a hard look at some of the top spring sport athletes across the state, right now, as we are still wrapping up our end of season basketball coverage with Liz diving into the top players on the high school basketball stage from the freshman, sophomore, and junior class. We're doing a fun thing this week on the site, which I hope is still live by the time you listen to this podcast. It's who is the best basketball player to come out of the state of Washington in the 21st century. And the brain trust at Scorebook Live, we put our heads together for an afternoon and came up with, a ton of names to make up a big field of seeded players who played on this stage in this state from 2000 on. Right now, we're in the Elite Eight as we record this on Wednesday. Voting advances around each day. There's been great participation. It's been really fun to see how different readers are responding and some of the upsets that are coming through. But that's one to keep an eye out for. So vote for who the best basketball player, in your opinion, in the state of Washington is in our bracket the rest of this week. Other things we're working on, rolled out. Todd, you rolled out all your great softball coverage last week, including preseason top 10s throughout each classification. You have first team, second team, all state across all classifications. And we're going to do the same on the baseball side. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Is there anything else we should be plugging outside of this very podcast?
Yeah, I mean, just because things have been canceled, I think why not? Why not talk about some of the best teams and the best athletes in all these spring sports? I think their coaches and their parents and the athletes themselves would appreciate it. Yeah, it would have been fun to see WF West, for example, make a run with this loaded team in 2A softball, or like I mentioned, Garfield or Richland had a lot of girls back from last year's state semifinal team that had one loss, kind of the consensus number one team. Or could Jackson go win a, could they finish off a three-peat in 4A? I mean, it would have been all these storylines would have been fun. And I know it's sort of theoretical, but we're still going to touch on them in some of these polls and rankings and preseason all-state teams. And then later this month, we'll touch on some of the individual players themselves. So please do read. We're still working hard to make sure that the state is covered.
Absolutely. And every day on this very podcast feed, which you can find on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find a daily episode of Dan Dickow's special quarantine interview series. He's got a lot of really good guests lined up. Today, we had Jamal Crawford. Yesterday, we had Kelly Graves, the head women's basketball coach at University of Oregon. In the future, we're going to have some even bigger names. Really looking forward to listening to those. There's tons of great nuggets in there and just a lot of fun. A lot of fun to see how different people across all really genres of sport, from players to, he had on a guy he knew who is an NBA 2K producer for the video game. And that was just fascinating. So Dan's bringing the heat every day on this very podcast feed. In addition to subscribing to this podcast, you get his episodes every day for free to your mobile device or wherever you listen to your podcast. So please keep doing so, and we'll keep bringing it. For Scorebook Live Washington, Todd Millis and Andy Bueller, thank you for listening.